Hey everyone, if you're interested in getting into a career for videography or photography, stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. If you are new here, this is our career chat series where we have people on and we interview them about what they do and how they got into there so that way you actually know what it is that they do versus what you think that they do. This is also just a great episode for anybody who's a young adult or a potential adult who's interested in pivoting careers. So it's always good to learn what other options are out there. So today we have on our show, we have Anthony Frazier, and he does photography and videography, and I'll read you a quick bio. Anthony is a storyteller through the lens with a decade-long passion for crafting visual narratives. From the lively streets of LA to the heart of New York and the vibrant landscapes of the Yucatan, Mexico, y'all, Anthony's journey is a testament to his love for capturing diverse tales. As a filmmaker and photographer, Anthony specializes in dynamic shots that reflect the energy and grace of his subjects. Thanks for coming on today, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we'll dive right into our first topic. So we actually were kind of fiddling around with it before we started recording. So we know that the official term is photography, and you also want to be known for doing videography. What made you get into that field?
So both of my parents, so my mom, she was into photography like when she was younger. And then my dad, while he was going to college, he was getting his master's in architecture. He was taking a black and white film photography class. And I was like really young. I think it was like 5 or 6. But sometimes he would take me in the dark room and I would watch him develop the film. And I was like super fascinated by it. So there was always that interest at just seeing how, you know, pictures were created. And so I think I would also, my mom, you know, like photo albums were always a thing, you know, back then and everything besides before the digital world really kicked off. And so my mom had tons of photo albums. So I would just sit there and just look at the pictures and analyze how they were taken. And that went on for like years and years until I think around 19, I was at a summer camp and I was a camp counselor, and then we would get paid. And so one day I was like, I should buy a camera. And so since then, it just kind of went in this direction of, you know, everyone starts off like, I'll do portraits or I'll do, you know, fashion or shooting things for really cheap or free and everything. And it just kept going because I kept sticking with it for the most part, I guess.
That's awesome. So since you had that interest for a long time, did you go to school for photography, or like did you kind of know what you wanted to go to school for? Educational background pretty much, and does it relate to what you do now?
Yeah. So I initially went to school to become a piano performance major, and
you're artistic. Okay. I love
it. Yes. Just a little bit. Yeah. And so I thought that was the route I wanted to go. It was between that and photography, but I was much better at playing the piano than I was at photography at that point. So I was like, well, I'm already good at this. But after the first year or two, I realized that it was more of a passion hobby rather than a career goal. And I feel like when you're learning or you're passionate about something, to know that you really want to do it is when you're doing the more grunt work or the scientific side of everything or technical side of everything. And when I was doing that, I wasn't enjoying it. And so I decided, I was like, okay, well, maybe I should try this photography thing. And so with photography, I'm self-taught, a lot of YouTube and a lot of buying online workshops and everything, but I didn't go to school for photography. I just learned on the fly and, you know, and then met some really cool other photographers throughout my life who, you know, had guidance and everything and stuff. But mostly everything is like YouTube and tutorials and books. And that's how I got to here currently.
I love that. So, because I remember when I first spoke with you, you mentioned your background. And I was like, oh my gosh, he'd be great to have on the podcast, just because some people forget that for other certain careers that are there, you can teach yourself. So I thought that would be great to have you on versus some people automatically think, oh, I have to enroll. And some people just naturally have that thought process of like, oh, I need to enroll in a 4-year school automatically for like whatever they think it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not necessarily the case for some options, and that can also save you money in the long run too. So could you kind of just walk us through when you decided to officially, you know, step into, I'm going to make this like a career option for me, and how did you select like your courses to help guide you? Like, how did you start that process on your own?
So I think when it started clicking for me, I had very supportive family, like extended family, cousins, uncles. They were always very like, oh, Anthony's learning photography. Anthony wants to do photography. Let's pay him to do our family portraits. And, you know, they would give me like a little $50, $75 there. And so me doing that and them recommending multiple people caused me to shoot more, which caused me to get better a lot faster, I believe. And then I think definitely too, having the eye for it, which I definitely give, you know, to my parents, because both of my parents are very artistic too. They paint and draw and all that stuff and pictures and everything. So I think naturally, like I think naturally, and my brothers all have it too as well, kind of thing, where they're all creatives as well too. So I think realizing my eye for it, and then I started reaching out more. This is like when Craigslist first started, and then people were like, you know, when it was like not as sketchy as it is now, kind of thing. But people would ask like, oh, I need family portraits, or I need a wedding photographer. And so I think when I started making money in those areas, then I realized like, wow, I really can do this kind of thing and stuff. And of course, there's this part of me that is very introverted. And so I held myself back. I feel like I could be further along than I am now because of the introvertedness and the belief in myself. Cause it took me a while to believe that I'm a really good photographer or I'm a really good videographer. And so I kind of came to that point more so last year, I think, which is really crazy. And I know, and it's like I've been doing it for like so long, but
like, have you seen? I don't know. Like, your work is really good. Like, what?
I know. I guess I'm my biggest critic, where I'm like, oh, I could have done this differently, and so now it's more so like appreciating the, you know, the steps. But yeah, during that time when I started getting a lot of portraits and weddings, that's when I realized like, oh, I could really make money from this. And still, the learning curve was a bit different, because I feel like right now in this time, it's like it's so easy to learn how to do photography and easy to learn video because everybody is teaching. And at that point, a lot of people weren't teaching. And then the people who knew were kind of gatekeeping and keeping all their secrets because, you know, all these people wanted to learn and they didn't want to like get their business taken and so forth and so on and everything. So the process was, at the time, before even YouTube got really popular with tutorial videos, I would find like different blogs and different workshops. And I took one while I was doing, still working on trying to, when I was in piano performance, I was taking one class. They had to take an art class, and it was a black and white film photography class, just like my dad. So, and that really like kicked it off, because my teacher, she was like really, really talented photographer and everything. And she would always say, because a lot of people in the class, they would take it for fun, but I kind of took it extremely serious. And she saw that. So she was always giving me tips and guidance and everything and stuff. So that also helped too. Shout out to Allison, you know.
No, that's very cool. And yeah, like to Kemi's point about like teaching yourself, like all the skills and things like that, and of course like it took practice, but like how did you, so at the point that you kind of knew like you wanted to do this, and you weren't like paying someone to go to school, like you weren't paying to go to school to do this, like what kind of kept you motivated? I always think like I'm sure anyone listening to like has a hobby or a passion that they're like, oh, I could make something of this and like make money from this. Like what kept you motivated to keep teaching yourself and keep taking those, like putting the hours in to hone in on this craft?
I think a lot of it was, I feel like every time I did a shoot or shot something, it would get better each time, even if it was like a little bit, and I would noticeably see the difference. And I had, you know, like you have the people you want to be like, or like the famous photographers. And at that time I was mostly shooting portraits and weddings, but overall I wanted to be a world renowned fashion photographer. That was like the ultimate goal kind of thing and stuff. And so I think I was trying to use portraits and weddings to hone in my craft. And I'm not saying portraits and weddings are easier than fashion photography. I feel like weddings are probably like the hardest thing to shoot, honestly, and stuff. But my goal of wanting to be at that level and to have my quality at that level, I felt that was like a key motivation for me, because I was like, I want to be this fashion photographer and I want to shoot for Vogue and Gucci and all these different, you know, people and brands and everything and stuff. And so I think having to do the hard work to hone in your craft on that end, even though I still could have. And I feel like if you want to do a certain thing in photography, I think you should just go straight and do that. But there was definitely benefits to doing that, because, you know, weddings pay really good, and I'm able to buy better lenses and gear and all that different stuff too. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, could you also speak to a little bit of what other areas there are for photography? Because I think sometimes people automatically just think right off the bat is weddings. And then you just mentioned a good point where there's also high fashion. And I think you also mentioned before you had another job. Were you doing real estate at one point, taking pictures?
Yes.
Yeah. So could you kind of touch base on like the different ways that like photography and film can work in other spaces?
Yeah, I feel like there's even more ways now. Like it's like a different pipeline of ways, because it's like, you know, there's photographers who shoot for companies, for like Target, like you see the Target magazines, or they do like a few lifestyle shots to be the cover of the magazine. But I feel like definitely a lot of content creation with brands. Then there's architecture, there's weddings, there's portraits, and within portraits you can be exclusively infant baby photographer, or you can be photograph people have women having their babies, or you could be boudoir, or there's so much.
Boudoir, right? Yeah.
Boudoir, yeah, that's and so then there's real estate, but then there's real estate for shooting for realtors, but then there's architecture photography, then there's so many areas, like literally everything you see around you kind of thing. You could be an automotive photographer, or, you know, fitness and wellness photography. And that same thing goes for videography and everything as well too. So there's a lot to, and that's the hard thing sometimes, because when you like so many different things, that was my problem. Well, not a problem. I looked at it more so as, if I learned how to get really good in each area, then I can always have a job. Somebody could say, hey, do you know how to shoot a music video? And I'll be like, yes, I do, kind of thing. So it goes off the thing of being like a jack of all trades. But sometimes, you know, it's like, it's good to be talented, especially since it's photography. So it's like, it is one area, but then it's like has all these different offshoots. So I've literally probably shot in pretty much every single category for years. And it's definitely benefited like my life, and, you know, being able to have access to different things in different areas, or meet different people that I normally would not have, you know, met if I was just doing like one thing, like baby portraits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this is a loaded question. Your day probably varies, but can you, someone listening that's like interested in photography or filmography, what is like a typical day? Like, if you can, like, what's a typical day or even a typical week look like? I'm sure you're preparing throughout the week. Like you say, if you're doing weddings, those are typically on the weekends or things like that. But yeah. Just to give our listeners like a little bit of what your week or your days look like.
Mm-hmm. Or even maybe to add on that too, if it's slightly, or would it be easier to describe like the process? So like you're meeting with someone or going that way. I don't know which one would I don't know how that works, photography, yeah. Videography. So,
yeah. I guess at this point now, it's like, I think the biggest one, I guess one of the biggest things I would say too is focus on learning business. Mm-hmm. Even more so than the craft of photography, because naturally, the more you shoot, you'll get better. But I feel like that's like 75 to 80% of everything I do is like very business tech stuff. So it's like, I'm the majority of the time finding, I'll speak what I'm doing currently. So like currently, I'm working more so, I've started my own creative agency where it's like, my main focus is fitness and wellness and everything. So I shoot like, you know, for fitness people, equipment, shoes, that kind of different thing and stuff. So a lot of that right now is finding clientele who I think would align with me as well as me aligning with them. So that's a drastic search because there's so many different fitness and wellness brands all over the world, whether it's food or different things. So it's finding those people and then like narrowing down and stuff and doing your research. Cause the thing is so many people are photographers and everything at this point of life and everything. So they're getting hundreds and hundreds of emails from every day. Like, hey, I'm a photographer. Can I shoot your stuff? Kind of thing. Some people saying for free or not. So you're trying to find, for me, what I do pretty much every day, most of my days, I would say probably the first half a week from Sunday till Monday, I'm finding different brands and then researching like their history or the things they're doing. And then I look for points where I feel I can add to whatever they have already or something that may not be as strong. Say if it's a studio and none of the teachers have headshots, I may reach out and be like, hey, what you guys are doing is amazing, blah, 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 so forth and so on. I also wanted to add that maybe, you know, you guys could add some headshots or so-and-so and stuff and everything. And then I say, we'd love to set up a call and everything. So I do a lot of that in the beginning of the week, or at least finding those people. And then Tuesday and Wednesday are like my days where I send emails out, like different emails, make them custom to each person, not the same generic email and everything. And it's tedious and it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience, but it's worth it. And then a lot of times on Thursday, I feel like I usually use it as my learning day kind of thing. I always try to find something newer to learn, whether it's like, since I'm more in the videography sphere now, I'm trying to bring that up to match where I am with photography. And so I'm learning different things like color grading, taking different classes or watching YouTube videos or, you know, just different things to get better. And then Friday is more, I start doing my research again to prepare for the following week to start finding more brands and more people to reach out to. And then if I'm actually have a shoot that week, I usually meet the week before with the client and discuss everything in detail and try to do mood boards and all the different things and trying to just prep so it's less of a surprise. Like things, you know, things happen on shoots, like weather, batteries go dead, stuff like that happens. But overall, I like to have the whole, like, you know, concept of what we're doing from start to finish. And if we're able to add more or take out whatever needs to, that's fine. But I like things to be very prepared. So when I get there and shoot, and it's just like, you know, we just get right to it and stuff. And, you know, sometimes, you know, like I said, things go different ways, but most of the time it's usually smooth because I usually, especially the day before, I'll make sure everything's charged, make sure everything works, make sure all the glass is cleaned and everything. And then when I go to shoot, I usually try to aim to be 15, 30. Well, it depends on the type of shoot sometimes. Commercial shoots, I usually try to be there an hour before. And different portrait shoots, I'll try to be 15, 20, 30 minutes, depending. So, yeah, that's a lot of not as exciting. If you're not into business and if you're just like super artsy, he's like, I just want to take pictures. It's not the most fun part, you know, because, you know, contracts and all that different stuff. But that's how, like, there are, and it's not to say there are photographers who are like really, 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 really amazing. Their work is like superb, but their business side is not as great. And there's photographers who may not be as talented as these, but their business is amazing and they're making hundreds of thousands, while the super talented ones are maybe make like 30, 20, 10, or may not even make any money. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think you really spoke a lot of truth too. And this is why we have the podcast, like the back door of like what people actually do too. Cause when you show up to weddings, when you show up to a shoot, they just think you're there with a camera and like, boom, mm-hmm. and like you just do processing afterwards. But no, there's all this other work that goes into it. And then the large piece about if you're owning your own business, you have to do a lot of the business piece as well.
Yeah.
So, cause we just think like, I have the business, clients come. No, you have to get yourself out there and do the connects, do the networking, do their outreach. So it's like that other piece that's a large part too. Because you were talking, I was like, when's the photography coming? So it definitely spoke a lot to that whole process, which I thought was great. And it also spoke to a lot of like discipline, I feel, to be like regimented with your business too. Because sometimes I feel like people think like creators are just so free flowing all the time too. But like, no, if you want to make the business thrive, you got to have a little bit of like structure in there too to make sure that thriving. So I thought that was just really interesting. And I guess going along with that too, what do you think are some of the highlights of your job and some of the challenges of your job?
I think the highlights are definitely the people you get to interact with. Not every client is like easy to work with. Well, I guess I could say that for the challenges, but overall, I feel like in my career, I've had a lot of really amazing clients. I can't really think of any like tough to deal with clients. Like everyone's been amazing, but it's awesome because you get to meet so many different people. For instance, I did architecture photography for like 4-ish years, and I worked for a company that does architecture real estate. And so commercial architecture real estate, and so it's amazing because you see these skyscrapers and you sometimes forget, like, you know, these 20, 30, 60 story buildings that people actually own these. So it's like to meet some of those people who actually own them and know in the buildings, like, oh, this building is like $400 million kind of thing. But then you meet the person and they're just like very chill, just wearing loafers and very driving a Toyota. So it's like, it's amazing because then you see, like, I could walk past this person in the grocery store and I would never know, kind of thing. But it's cool because a lot of time, like, meeting the people, because you meet a lot of people and you make these connections, and sometimes people end up being your friends or repeat clients. And, you know, it's, I think that's the fun part, meeting, even for me as an introvert, but usually I'm only working with like one or two, unless it's like family portrait shoots and everything. But I think the highlights is meeting people and then being able to photograph like really amazing stuff, like really cool buildings or really awesome people and everything. So I think that's the highlight for sure. Yeah. And challenges is sometimes I think lighting is like the most intense challenge that I still deal with today. And it's like, you know, it's like I know how to work around it, but it can be challenging depending on, especially if you're not able to get to a location beforehand to see how it will look at this time or like that. But or the demand of how quickly sometimes people want their projects turned around. They may like hit you up last minute. It's like, hey, can you shoot this at tomorrow? And you're like, sure. And it's like, but we need it before the weekend's over. And you're just like, oh my gosh. So it's like, you'll be doing like I've done plenty of all nighters on projects to get things done. Or if some people, you know, some people may have a certain taste of how they want certain things, like wedding albums or wedding photos, and they'd be like, can you fix this and this and all 600 of these photos? Or I'm not saying people should give you six. You should. I don't think anyone should have 600 wedding photos. I think that's a lot, kind of thing. But in general, when I was young, I would used to overshoot like 800 photos. And they're like, well, and 400 and so-and-so these photos and this one, this is wrong and stuff. And so that's another reason why I kind of stopped doing wedding photography too. It was just, it's intense for sure. It's very awesome.
Yeah,
it is. And I commend so many wedding photographers who do this like multiple times a year for, you know, the entirety of their life. And it's wonderful moments. I love capturing the moments too, but at the same time, it's just the stress from it. It's a different type of stress that I'm like, like I'm fine with like shooting like a building and they need it done and so on. So like it's still very stressful, but at the same time, it's just like the wedding photography is just a different level, I feel. So yeah.
Like there's multiple variables with that, and the building don't talk back.
People exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I know. And yeah, and that's the one thing too, because I remember one of the last weddings I shot, it was I was fighting people with cell phones and other people, and then those the uncles with their cameras, and everybody's like trying to get the, you know, the first kiss. And I was like, I literally had to push people out of the way kind of thing, because I'm like, I'm getting paid to capture this and you guys are not. So it'll be fine. But after that, I was like, no, I was like, I'll do elopements, but or whatever, but it's like go out. So we're getting married on like the end of the Grand Canyon. I'm like, sure, I'll do that kind of thing. But no more weddings. Like I'm done with that. Yeah. At least I say that until they say, oh, we'll pay you this much. Then I'll be like, okay.
Money talks sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It does.
What advice would you give a parent that is like listening? Our target audience is students, but I feel like our audience right now is probably parents or people our age maybe, but like what advice would you give to a parent whose kid is like really interested in photography? Kemi and I have a background in academic advising, and so we've met a lot of people. I always think of this parent, this mom and her son who came in, and the son wanted to do like photography, and the mom was like adamant that he was gonna be in IT. I don't even know what he ended up choosing, but it was like they came and saw me like multiple times. It was always a battle of her being like, he's doing IT, so I'd advise him for IT classes, but he just looks so miserable hearing you talk about, you know, IT classes. But I know that's a thing, and it sounds like you had a very supportive system and your parents, you know, already creatives as well. But like if there's parents listening and their student is expressing interest in any type of like media or art, and they're kind of hesitant because they don't think it's going to get them anywhere, like what would your advice be to that parent, or like that discussion? Like what could that look like for their student?
I would say, man, I'm a little in the middle about it to a certain part, only because I feel that I truly do feel that if you know you're passionate and it calls your soul, that no matter what, you're going to be successful. But I understand too that art school is very, very, very expensive. Hence is why I didn't. That was the only reason why I didn't go. I mean, granted, I feel like the benefit of art school is a networking part for sure. But overall, I think that if your child is saying that they want to do that, I definitely would advise them to let them do that, support them 100%. But I would also say that I would suggest like having the business side of things, like even if they get a minor or associate's degree in business, just something to help. But I feel like it, and it's not saying it's not possible, because there's so many people who do it without that. But then I know there's a lot of people who benefited by having that business. And I think it's tough because college is very expensive, but the networking of college helps. Like I only went for 2.5 years, but it worked out because a lot of my friends I went to school with have hired me to, like, you know, do stuff. And it's not saying you can't network and go, because there's so many platforms now where it allows you to network with different people, like, you know, business things and all these different workshops. But I do feel that if self-learning is a little bit of struggle, or, you know, or sometimes you have a little bit of trouble focusing, I think doing something in business along with photography will help you like a lot more. Cause I feel as creatives, at least for me, like I have so many different ideas. Like I could tell you so many projects and so many different creative things I have started and not finished. And I'm not saying that me finishing school would have changed that, but I also believe that it also would have helped a little bit too as well. So I think going for it, like if you're a very determined person and you know you can really focus in on, like I say, you know, just go for it. Like don't even, it's better to do workshops, honestly, than I feel art school just because art school is so expensive. If you can't afford art school, if you can afford art school, and then I'll say go for it. And I definitely feel the business side, because I've learned a lot. I had to learn a lot of stuff the hard way, kind of thing. And there's, again, more information out, so it's much easier. But I still feel that having some sort of business degree or marketing degree would put you at this different level, like having understanding how the psychology of how brands and companies and marketing teams or everybody thinks and stuff. Even a psychology, if you wanted to get a psychology degree, I feel like that would help you a lot too, as well.
I had that degree.
Yes.
it could can be for photography though. You can be in photography now, but that's a great point. Like you just highlighted a compromise. You know, you can go to school. Mm-hmm. You mentioned like a minor, or you know, maybe you go for a psychology major or a business major, and you can minor. I know when we were in college, people had like triple majors, so I don't recommend that. But you know, it's possible that you could. Yeah, people were wild at Elon, but it's possible that you could, you know, tack on. So I think you made a great point in saying that there's a compromise that can be made between the parent, and ultimately it's the student's decision. But you know, maybe you can minor in it, or there's so many credits you can take that you have that you can do like fun things that interest you. Like, you know, you can take photography classes or take filmography or videography or art classes within your degree too. But I think that's like the most important thing, is to have the business acumen or the public relations or like the branding or marketing background is really vital too. So that was a great point for sure, that you can do both, honestly.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And then my next question is, because you do photography and videography, so did you do like all photography first and then you learned videography, or did you do it both at the same time? And then there's also editing that's thrown into there too, because it's two different editing styles too for that. What was kind of your process for that?
So the thing, I think around, was it probably like 10, 11 years ago, I was mostly doing, actually, I realized I probably should have been shooting longer than I thought. But 10, 11 years ago, I started jumping more into the fashion side. And when I would do that, sometimes I would just randomly switch my camera to the video mode and just like capture quick moments kind of thing. And surprisingly, every time I would do that, like they would look really cool kind of thing and stuff. And so I was like, maybe I should start looking into this. I was like, I'm not even taking this side seriously at all, but it's very similar in the photography realm. So then I was like, probably like, 10-ish, 11 years, I started dabbling a little bit more. But within the recent past 5 years, I really started going into that area, like buying, like bought a small cinema camera and everything, and really tried to learn and understand and realize that, you know, like videography, cinematography is like much more difficult than photography, because it's like you can, in the editing side of things, you can kind of recover things easier or fix things with photos, but with video, it's much harder. I'm sure 5 years from now, AI is going to make it way easier, so you won't have to even worry. But yeah, that's when I started getting into more, and I started shooting like real estate videos. And then every time I would do like a fashion shoot, I would also just throw the video in there and everything. And so it piqued my interest more. And then also, me being a huge fan, I'm like a huge fan of movies, like all types of movies, except for horror movies. I can't do it. You know, I like to sleep and have peace of mind kind of thing. But I love. So I loved watching movies. And so I was like, I want to get to that point where I was like, my work looks like what I see in the cinema. And so that was like one of those goals, just like when I was starting out with photography, I wanted to work in the fashion industry. And as I got older too with that, like I switched paths and decided that industry wasn't necessarily for me. But yeah, so that's how I got into the video sphere. You asked another question and I cannot remember what, but
I think you kind of answered it anyway, rolled up into your answer, because I was wondering, like, the editing, is it like different? And you definitely did just reveal that it is different.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of funny because that you mention that it's easier to edit photography versus videography, because I'm not sure if you follow them on Facebook. It's like free photography edits, and there's people that will dump pictures in there. It's hilarious. I just follow because it's pure hilariousness. But people also are trying to practice their craft, or they're really good with editing photos. People will say like, hey, here's a nice picture of me. Put me on the beach. Or then like,
oh, yeah.
And some people just put the craziest things on, like, them on the moon. Or like, yeah. It's just a good show. But I'm like, yeah, it makes sense that it's so much easier to edit photography versus videography, because there's a moving object. So that's a lot of like editing that you would have to do for something so small.
Yeah, so for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just have one more question. I'm not sure if Kemi has any others, but I know people can start on an iPhone, they can start on their Android, but like, what would you say, like how can people start? Well, I feel like two people are like, they want the really cool, wrong, correct me, but like the DSLR cameras, like they want the really cool cameras, but like how can somebody just start out? Like if they're interested, they want to, you know, just dabble in it, like what kind of camera could they start with? Is it iPhone or Android? Like, are those sufficient and they like move up from there, or you need to like invest in a great camera from the start?
Question.
Yeah, so it's funny because I feel definitely because the capability of phones, it's easy to start photography now, and I feel phones are great for understanding like composition and angles and everything. I also think getting a camera is very essential, but I don't think you should spend a ton of money because there's so many, like, I mean, you could go to different yard sales or you see the saying, oh, you know, we're selling a camera. My kid didn't use it and everything. So I feel like you should get a camera. I think you should get a very, like, get a camera that's made in like 2000. Like, I feel that because when I first started, I had a digital camera, but then, no, I had a point and shoot camera. And then I went to a digital camera, but I had a lens that wouldn't automatically focus, because it was all I could afford. So I was manually focusing like a, you know, like a film camera back in the day and everything. So I feel that it really allows you to really hone in on understanding photography, like every aspect. So for any parents and their kids, like, mom, dad, I want this camera. I want this. Oh, get them an old digital camera and get them a lens that doesn't automatically focus. And then I feel that would really, like, when you have less, I feel you're able to create more, because now we're in the stage where they're releasing all these new cameras every single month, and people are like selling their cameras, buying the next one, and the quality is not that much different than it was 5 years ago, depending on situation. Like, I understand, like, things are faster, quicker autofocus, sharper and everything, but sometimes going back to basics, like, even the camera I have currently, it's a small little cinema camera, and it came out like 5 or 6 years ago. And I bought it last year because it caused me to be more methodical. Like, I've shot with Sony cameras for most of my career, but after a while, it became so very like computer-ish, kind of like everything just seemed very digital, very just like quick, and it made me look at photography. Like, I wasn't as interested in the process or the magic of it, and I wanted to recapture that. And so I went, and this really depends on your career. Like, I feel as of now, like, I understand too, since I'm more into pushing the fitness and wellness, I need a faster camera. And that's understandable, because to get the work and movement, you need, you know, that type of thing. But if you're doing portraits or doing different things, I feel like a slower methodical camera, or if you're doing like, you know, just street photography, it causes you to really capture that essence and magic of photography. Even if you have like high-end cameras, buying a slower camera, I feel, just slows it down. And so I feel like people starting out should just, parents should just don't spend like thousands of dollars immediately, because, you know, camera values go down so quick since they have new technology every 4 or 5 months. So that camera that was $2,000 is going to be like $1,000 later on that year. And then your kid's not using it, and you're like, well, there it goes, kind of thing. But I think that's a good way to start. Or your phones, like I said, because, you know, if you have a phone. But yeah, a lot of old cameras are coming back. Like, people are using point and shoots and the throwaway cameras and camcorders these days, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Not sure. I've definitely seen the Polaroid cameras coming back. Like, just because I think the aesthetic look at them is really cool.
Yeah.
Before getting into those.
I know, I like those. Low-key, I was thinking about getting a Polaroid one just because I do like the aesthetic of it.
They're cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, kids drop their phones, so imagine them dropping a camera. Like $1,000, or phones are $1,000, but imagine them dropping some expensive camera too. And they don't have cases on their phones either, so that's a great a great piece of advice to start out less expensive and build.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I will have I have a comment and then a question, but it was just interesting, like, when you were mentioning how, like, having photography for, like, action shots. And then I was just thinking of all the other different, like, niches there is for photography, because then you mentioned baby before. And I remember my friend, she went to this lady that she did, it was Christmas shoots in particular. And then she had, she, like, rented out a field from somebody, created three, put three sets that were set up on there, and then had parents book throughout the whole entire day. It was like, you come in at one, and it was just like, boom, 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 you have this hour and a half. You want this set, boom, 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 boom. Another person came in, boom, 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 boom. I was like, ah, that's a genius idea. There's so many niche things to do with photography. Yep. And then even, like, for still shots, I was like, yeah, I think people take pictures of like, products for of food. Like, you see people taking pictures of food to market restaurants and stuff like that. So there's just so many different ways to niche your business. Or, and even when you said athletics, I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about that too. Like, yeah, athletics, like, that's a niche too. And then my final question is a fun question. It's, what was the best shoot or videography ever, and what was the, like, the craziest one?
I have two best ones.
Okay, go for it.
My two best one, one was, so where I used to live in Northern California, we used to play Ultimate Frisbee all the time with this group of people. There's probably, like, we had a whole Facebook group and everything, 50 people in the group. But anyways, one night it was like 20 of us still left, and it was like getting dark. And I was like, hey, I was like, we should shoot some cool stuff with the Frisbee and the sand and everything. And so my friends, they're all very, like, athletic, backflip, rock climbing kind of group of people and everything. So that was, like, one of the most fun, awesome shoots, because it was just like the action shots that I was able to capture, people doing all this crazy stuff, and the cops came out, they're like, what are you guys doing? And then we're like, oh, we're taking pictures. And they're like, well, that's pretty productive and nice for the community. They're like, okay, well, and they left us alone kind of thing and stuff. But that was one. And then another one was, it was probably like one of the few kind of celebrity people. I don't know if you guys remember Daniel from, he's from Mean Girls. He had the hoodie. He's like, So I got to shoot. Yes, I got to shoot with him in downtown LA, and it was probably like one of the most hilarious, fun shoots, because his energy and everything. He was just like, I was probably like in tears from laughing so much and stuff. So that was probably the most fun shoot. And then let's see, the most challenging. I probably have to say
a wedding.
Actually, the architecture one. And this was during COVID. And then so it's like, there's nobody in this entire building, probably like 40, 50 floors. And it was scary because I was basically, there was a one security person, but he had to stay at the desk because, you know, COVID protocols at that time and everything and stuff. But it was hard because it was just like, this, I think that was the most alone and empty I've ever felt in my life. And it's just like every single sound, I'm just like, I was like, who's in here with me? Because it's like, there's only one other person in this entire, and it was like
the apocalypse. I don't think
so. I know. And then the building was hard to shoot because the timing they had me shoot and the lighting and stuff. It was just like, it was a very challenging shoot, and it was challenging, scary, dark, very quiet and everything. But, I think that was probably the most challenging one that I could think of. Yeah.
I was going to say, I was probably shooting Kemi and Warren last or a couple weeks ago, but not playing.
Oh, actually, yeah. They're not great people at all, you know.
We're just plumb like, awful.
It's easy because they're so cute, but no, I know. Awesome. I'm excited to see those pictures. Kemi was just talking about that. I'm excited.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anthony. This has been really helpful. Like, really just fun, too, to, like, highlight how you got into this career. Like, you've made it like a real career, so it's possible. Like, you're self-taught, and I'm sure people out there, like a lot of people, are self-taught too, but just to hear like how you became self-taught and where you started from is very, very cool. So I know our listeners will appreciate this episode a lot, so thank you so much. Before we sign off, can you please like shout out whatever you want to shout out, like your website, social media? We'll put it in the show notes too, but just so you can say it to the listeners too.
Oh yeah. So my creative agency is called thekindredmedia.com, and my Instagram is Seeing Tony. So that's more personal kind of creative work, and thekindred.media is the Instagram for that.
Very cool. But yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. Everybody go follow Anthony. Go flood his page. Yes. I saw some pictures. Like, they're really good. They're really amazing. Kemi was showing me a couple weeks ago, and it's really amazing. So,
yeah, your page.
Thank you.
To see you on the bigger stage one day. You're already on the big stage, but the bigger stage one day. So
yes, definitely.
Cool. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you have other careers that you want to hear from, we always ask you. Kemi and I just come up with these off the top of our heads. So we're trying our best to get as many as we can. But if you all have any ideas of careers that you want to hear from, people you want to hear from in certain careers, I should say, then please let us know. You can email us. You can reach us on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook. It's Yawsyn Podcast, YAWSYN Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Please let us know. And please make sure to keep sharing the episodes with your friends, with your families, with your guidance counselors, whoever you want to share it with. Just please share so we can get these episodes to people so they can hear this stuff too. I think we're learning a lot. If I could go back 10 years, like 10 years, it's probably been longer than that now, but if I could go back, this would have been very, very helpful for me. So but we appreciate your support. Thank you all so much, and we will see you in the next one. See you.
Bye. Get these bots out of here. Thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.